أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Just a recap from the last week, we did talk about two things. We did talk about the meaning of akhlaq, which comes from khulq or khuluq, which is like the second nature or second creation of human being. And we said that is why the two terms khalq, which means khalq and creation, and khulq, which means traits and character, are very similar in Arabic to each other. And then we talked about faith and different views on the nature of faith and the true core, which we call faith in human beings. We said that usually we take faith to be composed of three things. First is a conviction in the heart. It's not mere knowledge or mere belief in something. It is a belief or knowledge which brings conviction with it. And then that conviction would bring about a sort of acknowledgement and confession by the tongue. And, of course, it moves the body to act towards that conviction. However, the core, the very, very core or kernel of faith is that conviction in the heart. Because sometimes we said there is no action, but there is that conviction. Sometimes there's opposite action, forcefully, but the conviction is there. And we reach this verse in the Quran, which is about the forced confession of Ammar bin Yasir to Kufr. He was forced to confess to Kufr and to deny God, and he did. And then he came to the Prophet. He was very sad about it. And the verse was revealed in Surah An-Nahl, verse 106. Man kafara billahi min ba'di imanih. Whoever rejects God after faith, after having faith, rejecting God. This is a bit different from straightforward or in the first place rejecting God. You have faith, then you reject it. That's a graver sort of, a more enormous guilt. Leaving faith after the conviction comes into the heart. Here it says, "Man kafara billahi min ba'di imanih." Whoever renounces faith in Allah after affirming his faith, except illa man ukriha wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman, except those who are compelled reluctantly to confess kufr or reject God while their heart is reassured with faith. This shows that the core of the faith is what is in the heart, that conviction. And of course, accepting those, لا ولكن من شرح بالكفر صدرا, those who accept kufr with open hearts, which their hearts are quite prone to rejecting God, فعليهم غضب من الله, there will be a wrath of God on them, which we discuss what the wrath of God mean. And there are a couple of verses afterwards which somehow guide us to why this sort of proneness towards kufr or towards iman show itself in different people in different ways. And it says ذلك بأنهم استحبوا الحياة الدنيا على الآخرة, that is because they prefer the life of the world to the hereafter. This is something which repeatedly is mentioned in the Quran, that actually we are all here to be tested for this. Which way, which direction? In Surah Saba, when Allah talks about how the people of Saba were deceived by Shaitan, it says, وَمَا كَانَ لَهُمْ لَهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ, he didn't have any power over them. He couldn't force them. However, we made this arrangement, لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِالْآخِرَةِ مِمَّنْ هُوَ مِنْهَا فِي شَكٍ, so that we know who believes in a judgment. This should be something very, very deep inside human soul. We do not realize it. We decide there whether we believe in a judgment, we believe in a higher being, we believe in a higher quality of life or we do not. If we are satisfied, content with the lower quality of life, that is when we reject the higher quality, and that is kufr. And that would, of course, have consequences. Anyhow, this is very complicated, as I said. And these verses are really good to ponder upon. These are the people whose hearts Allah has set a seal on, and on their hearing and their sight are sealed as well, and it is they who are the heedless, and of course, unavoidingly, or la jarama is translated as undoubtedly, but it's unavoidingly. It would happen, it should happen like that. They are the ones who will be the losers in the hereafter. Now, okay, our topic is of akhlaq, about akhlaq related to different levels of faith. So, we first of all believe that there are different levels of faith or different depths of faith. And secondly, we believe that at each level we would manifest a certain type of akhlaq. Now, whatever we discuss here is not something that we can force upon ourselves. For example, when we say this is the akhlaq of believers in this level, it doesn't mean that we can force it upon ourselves. We cannot. We have to reach that level to experience that akhlaq. Many of these ahadith that we have about, for example, the mu'min is like this, or the muqarrabun are like this, it is somehow, it's not normative, it's not actually prescribing for us, it's describing for us their situation. Most of these are descriptive, not prescriptive. Of course, they are prescriptive in the sense that if you try to attain that level of faith, then you will manifest that akhlaq, of course. And that's a good thing. Now, levels of faith. Al-Kulayni, in his book Al-Kafi, reports from Abdul Aziz Al-Qaratisi, who says, Abu Abdullah As-Sadiq alayhi salam told me that, O Abdul Aziz, faith is of 10 levels. Now, this 10, because in other traditions we have different levels, means that probably there are broad categories of faith under which there are subcategories. So sometimes you hear 10 levels, 7 levels, 4 levels. So we have to bear in mind that there are differences in categories and subcategories. Now, here Abdul Aziz says that Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam told me that there are 10 levels like a ladder. There are steps of faith, and we move up these steps one after another. It is climbed step after step. So the one who has climbed two steps should not say to the one who has climbed one step that you possess nothing. And this, of course, something, unfortunately, we have in our community usually. We look down at people with less grades or less depth of faith. We criticize them very much, which Imam here says, you are not allowed to do that. And also the Quran says that, كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Previously, you were like that as well. Allah has helped you to climb up. And when you climb up, you have to hold your hand out for others to bring them up, rather than just hitting them on the head because they are of the lower levels of faith. Now, so the one who has climbed two steps should not say to the one who has climbed one step that you possess nothing. Do not disregard the one who is below you, for you could be disregarded by the one who is above you. And sometimes in some traditions we have, for example, the Imam says, if we want to judge you with your faith, actually our faith compared to the faith of the Imam is nothing. So, or say, if the Prophet, for example, wanted to judge his own companions with regards to their levels of faith, they were actually absolutely, some of them absolutely faithless compared to the faith of the Prophet. But Prophet is there to stretch his hand, to bring them, to take them higher and higher towards his level of faith. So, Do not disregard the one who is below you, for you could be disregarded by the one who is above you. And when you see someone below yourself, try to uplift them to yourself with tolerance. And tolerance means that do not force upon them things which you do yourself, because then you break them. People have different levels or different strengths in faith. They cannot understand certain things that many of us may understand. So, do not impose on them what they cannot bear, for you break them. Indeed, whoever breaks a believer upon them is their recovery. Just consider, if we force something on a person with low level of faith, and because of that, they lose faith. Now, what will happen? We say, well, that's test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We offer them higher grade of faith, but they fail to take it. Now, we say that, well, that's test of Allah. However, here it says, you have broken the faith. You have to compensate for it. Sometimes the faith, this rope of faith is so thin, so weak, that instead of us putting these people on test and trial, so that to break it, we have to try, just like a very small shoot, we have to try to keep that very weak connection and to try to strengthen it more. Now, of course, this is not the topic of our discussion. The topic is that we have different levels of faith, different depths of faith. Now, the different levels sometimes are manifested in akhlaq. According to the following hadith, these degrees are different, are manifested or expressed in different qualities or malakat. Now, we said that every level of faith has its own akhlaq or its own malakat. Malaka we discussed last week, that malaka is that trait, that character, which you possess and you have owned it. It is always with you. And then in the hereafter, it possesses us. Because it's, again, always with us. In the hereafter, it possesses us. Many of our malakats that we have in this world, in the next world, will be with us. And that's why we have, for example, يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي السُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. When the trumpet is blown, you come in different groups, because we have different malakat, we have different akhlaq, and that akhlaq would possess us and will be with us until the very end. Now, look at this hadith. What we understand from this? This is in Babu Darajat al-Iman in the book Al-Kafi. Darajat al-Iman are grades or levels of faith. There is a chapter that Kulayni has opened on this, and this shows this issue when we look at, of course, the topics of a book. It shows that the author has gone through all the traditions and has found something important in traditions, and he has actually arranged a topic for it. It shows A'im alayhim salam were very concerned about these levels and grades of faith. This hadith shows that levels of faith are actually equated with certain traits, with certain qualities of akhlaq or character. Now, an Abi Abdullah alayhi salam from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, قال إن الله عز وجل وضع الإيمان على سبعة أسهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided faith into seven portions, or has put it on seven different portions. However, when the Imam is talking about Iman, it's not talking about something which we cannot see. It's something which could be seen in the action of people, in the qualities of their akhlaq. سَبْعَةَ أَسْهُمٍ عَلَى الْبِرِّ. Now, you see, you would say, what is the relation of these with Iman? These are qualities of human character. Why Imam says these are degrees of faith? It shows that these are the indicators. It indicates, if, for example, someone is not honest, doesn't have truthfulness, it shows that a portion of faith is absent in his general faith. A portion of faith is absent. If a person does not care about others, it means that a portion of faith is absent. Sometimes some of us, for example, would say that, well, I'm a very honest person. I never lie. I never oppress other people. So that's enough for me. Why should I pray, for example? Why should I obsess myself about tahara and najasa? Okay, you have one portion of faith. That's very good. However, there are other portions of faith which you have to acquire. So these ashum or portions are alal bir, which is the acts of charity. The acts of charity, beneficence, bir. And sadq, truthfulness, yaqeen, certainty. Now, you may say, well, most of us, when I say most of us, mean 99% of us, do not have certainty. That means we do not acquire that level of faith. And today, inshallah, we are going to talk about this level, certainty, which is one of the broad categories of faith. Now, then you can judge yourself what level of faith you have in you. Because these characters, we may not be able to judge what others have, but we can judge in ourselves what we have of these characters. Okay, beneficence, truthfulness, certainty, contentment, rida, to be always content with what we have. Well, wafa, loyalty, and that loyalty, of course, means you pray, you fast, all these come through loyalty to God because you want to thank him, because you are aware of the bounties that he has given you. As we have in hadith of the Prophet, when he was praying long hours of night, so that he sometimes his feet hurt him, so he just lifted one leg to give it some rest and then put that one down and lifted the other leg. And when he was asked, why are you putting yourself in such a hardship with worship, he said, Allah akunu abdan shakura, shouldn't I be grateful? This is loyalty, to be grateful. Okay, this is again one other portion of faith. Wal wafa wal ilm. Is ilm part of faith? Certainly ilm is part of faith. Knowledge, of course, by this we mean knowledge of God. How much knowledge of God we have. And helm, forbearance, which is, of course, in our relation to the public, to human beings, to others who have less degree of faith or who are faithless completely. So our forbearance, the way we interact with them. So these seven which are mentioned here, albir, charity, beneficence, asr, truthfulness, yaqeen, certainty, rida, contentment, wafa, loyalty, el, knowledge, and helm, forbearance. Then he says, the Imam says, ثُمَّ قَسَّمَ ذَلَكَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Then Allah has dispensed it among people. Not everyone has all these qualities. As I said, the hadith is not prescribing for you something. The hadith is describing for you how faith acts, how it is in human soul and character. Okay, then he dispensed it among people. Anyone endowed with these seven portions is the perfect, the strong. فَمَنْ جُعْلَ فِيهِ هَذِهِ السَّبْعَةِ الْأَسْهُمِ فَهُوَ كَامِلٌ مُحْتَمِلٌ. He's perfect. These are Anbiya al-Usiyah. Now, we have another hadith which talks about the troops of intellect and foolishness. Junud al-Aql wal-Jahl. There the Imam actually lists 75 qualities, which says all these are troops of intellect and the opposite are troops of foolishness. And these troops of intellect would not come together all in one person except in a prophet or in a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any of the followers of prophets and a'imma alayhi wasalam, depending on how many of these qualities are perfected in them, they get closer and closer to the qualities of Anbiya and A'imma alayhim salam. Here, seven are mentioned. There, of course, there are subcategories of this. 75 are mentioned. Okay. Whoever has anyone endowed with these seven portions is the perfect, the strong. However, he has dispensed some with only one portion. You know, some people are very charitable, that's all. Or some people are very honest, that's all. Of course, we will talk about the lowest level, which is Islam. That, for faith, of course, because we are not talking about general qualities of human beings, whether they are faithful or faithless, we are talking about qualities which come with faith. Now, all of us should have Islam, which is the lowest quality. We talk about that as well. Then, of course, in addition to that, we should have these qualities, which some of us are endowed. He has dispensed some with only one portion, and some with two, and some with three, up to the all seven. So anyone who is quite truthful, honest, charitable, loyal to God, content with his decrees, with knowledge, well, that has the highest level of faith, of course. Any question? Yes. Yeah, you just saw. You saw these seven qualities? Yeah. No, you can ask yourself. That's all. The only one who you can ask is yourself. بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. Everyone is aware of his own soul. So, the only one who can judge. And also, it's very important, we do not judge people. We shouldn't judge people. Judgment is not our duty. Judgment is the duty of, well, is upon God. And but every one of us is able to check. And this is what the Urafa call muraqabah and muhasabah, to watch over ourselves, our souls, and to, of course, take it into account to see what sort of qualities we have, what have we done, what do we do every day, whether we manifest these qualities or we do not. Yes?
What does the amount of interest thing dispense here? It sounds like as if it allocated that to a particular person.
Yeah.
Just expand what dispense to
the exact term, it doesn't go back. Yeah, the exact term which is used is that qassama has divided, distributed these to people. And that means that everyone receives what they deserve. Not that, of course, Allah has predestined that they should have it. They deserve it and they get it. This is what it means. Okay, it's clear. In this hadith, faith is defined by the akhlaq, which accompanies it, by nothing else, by the akhlaq. And in many other traditions, for example, the Imam alayhi salam says, do not be deceived by the prayer and fasting of people or recitation of the Quran. Look at their honesty. Look at whether they fulfill the pledge or not. These are the qualities which we call faith. The other things, salat, song, these are the lowest level of faith which we call Islam. We'll talk about that later on. If we do not do these things, we go out of Islam. Islam is the lowest level of faith. And then we have to come, move up by these qualities, of course. Now, it is, the tradition actually tells us, it is as if faith is nothing but these malakat. Of course, as we said, sometimes to be charitable or sometimes to have forbearance wouldn't make us to be halim or sadiq. It should be a malaka. It should be a steady sort of quality in us. Of course, each of these malakat have sub-qualities which are elaborated in the hadith of the truths of the intellect and the foolishness. I mentioned that. Then the Imam said, again, the same thing which we had. It seems maybe this was a reaction to Khawarij or some sort of extremists. We have these takfiris nowadays, of course. We have had these people all through the history, that they say that everyone should be at the top highest level of faith. Of course, their faith is only ignorance. However, this has been something which all through the history we have been plagued with. And this is why the Imams always have emphasized on this. لا تحملوا على صاحب السهم سهمين ولا على صاحب السهمين ثلاثة. Do not burden with two portions the one who has one portion. You cannot do it, of course. They cannot take it. The only thing is that you make a very bad relationship. You create tension and you lose forbearance. They lose their interest, and that's what will happen. So do not burden with two portions the one who has one portion, and do not burden with three portions the one who has two portions, for you overload them. And the same would apply up to the end of the seven. Okay, the same thing. Now, what we want to do in the rest of these sessions is, there are certain traditions which divide faith into four broad categories. And we want to examine these four broad categories. Yes? Burdening is that you, before helping them, teaching them, and actually inculcating these in their heart, you actually demand them to show the qualities which they do not have. And if they cannot do it, then you do takfir on them, you say you are not a Muslim. This is the difference. Helping means you try to gradually put it in their heart rather than demanding them before they having it. Okay? Now, there are four broad categories, and we try, inshallah, in the rest of these sessions to examine these four broad categories and the akhlaq which go with each of them. Now, of course, we don't do that in order for certain reasons, which I mention later on. Now, let's see what are those broad categories in the first place. Again, from Al-Kafi and Abi Basir, he said, قَالَ لِي أَبُو عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. Abu Basir says that Imam As-Sadiq asked me that probably there was a conversation before that, and maybe, again, this extremism was shown in the companions of the Imams, that a person should have full faith before we could accept them as your followers or as companions of Shia or something like that. The context of the hadith is not mentioned. However, from the question and answer which Imam asks and the answer which he receives, it shows that it was about this sort of extremism which was probably seen in some of the companions of the Imams. Now, Abu Basir says that Imam As-Sadiq asked me, yes? The slide is what, sorry? You don't have the slide. You don't? We have levels of faith. Maybe you have the last sessions, huh? This is what I have sent already, I don't know. Yeah, you have, okay. Yes. You do not have the ability. I repeat the question. Sorry. So the question is that when we do not have a couple of those seven qualities, for example, we do not find them in ourselves, is that a possibility that we do not have the capacity or capability of having them completely? Is that the question? apparently God has endowed this in every person's soul, that we have the capacity and we have the power to acquire this, and that is why we are encouraged towards it. The Quran has encouraged us, the prophets encouraged us to do this, because at the end of the day, when we go to the next world, these are the things which will be very important, turn to be very important. Now, Allah will give us, well, we say Allah gives us. You see, for example, Allah gives a person who goes to university and does a PhD lots of knowledge. Allah gives them, but they have acquired it actually, isn't it? It's all Allah's work and it's the person's work. Now, whatever Allah gives us in the hereafter is based on these things. And we are encouraged to acquire them so that we could receive more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, probably, the best way of looking at it is that if I don't have them, I'm not trying hard enough. If I don't have them, it doesn't mean that God is going to punish me. It doesn't mean that God is going to put me in hell. But it means that I'm going to lose certain things which God only would give through these qualities to people. So, if I don't have them, I'm not trying hard enough. I have to try more. And sometimes we really have to beseech God to help us towards gaining these qualities. Because sometimes it's very difficult to do it on our own. We need the help of God for that. In the way we ask God for money and property and anything in this world, we have to ask Him for these things as well. Now, yeah. Loyalty to what? Yeah. Wafa is a general term which we use here. First of all, wafa to God. Ufu ba'ahdi, ufu ba'ahdikum. Have wafa with me, I will have wafa with you. That's loyalty. And secondly, yes, of course, wafa with people. If you promise something, you have to honor that promise. This is a sort of a subcategory of that greater wafa with God. And helm, you said, or elm, knowledge. Knowledge, we mean knowledge of God. That should come into the heart. Hmm? Yeah, that knowledge of God, of course, is dispensed to us according to the capacity of our heart. And this capacity of heart would come through worship, through other qualities that which are mentioned here. So it's not something that we read in books, of course. It's something that we gain through other qualities which are mentioned there. I will discuss about this now shortly when we talk about yaqeen, inshallah. Now, here, the Imam alayhi salam says, ask Abu Basir, Ya Aba Muhammad, al-Islamu darajah. Now, it was common among other Shia companions of the Imam sometimes to reject the faith of the non-Shia, saying that the Sunnis are kafir. Now, we have in many, many traditions that imams have rejected that. And here is actually the confirmation of that. Do you believe that Islam is a degree, is a daraja, is something which distinguishes a person from a kafir, someone who just believes in the Prophet and the Quran? Is this a daraja? Now, of course, he has to say, yes, it is a daraja, it's a degree. It differentiates between people who believe in it and people who do not believe in it. And then he says, "Wal imanu ala al-Islam daraja." And also, do you believe that faith, iman? Now, of course, faith, we use it in two different meanings. One is a meaning which encompasses all these levels and degrees, and one is a specific meaning of iman or faith, which indicates a certain level of faith. And this we have to be careful throughout our discussions here. Now, wal imanu ala al-Islam daraja. Do you believe that iman, also faith, is one degree above Islam? I said yes. وَالتَّقْوَى عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ دَرَجَةً. And do you accept that taqwa is another level above faith? Now, isn't taqwa part of faith? Here, of course, we are dealing with somehow certain inward differences of faith and taqwa and Islam. So we will elaborate on that later on, inshallah. وَالتَّقْوَى عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ دَرَجَةً. Do you believe that? I said, yes. And do you believe that above taqwa there is another daraja, and that's yaqeen, certainty? قُلْتُ نَعْمْ. I said, yes. Then Imam said, فَمَا أُوتِيَ النَّاسِ أَقَلُّ مِنَ الْيَقِينِ. Now, you should also know that people are not given much yaqeen. Actually, only one in 100,000 is given yaqeen. Yaqeen is a level of faith which could not be found in many people, of course. Now, then Imam actually criticizes Abu Basir. He says, إِنَّمَا تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِأَدْنَى الْإِسْلَامِ. What you do, you are content. You are... He said, nothing is given to people as little as yaqeen, and you have clung to the lowest level of Islam, lowest level of faith. You just do your prayers, do your fasting, are content with that, go to matam, khushali, that's all. Nothing more than that comes to you. إِنَّمَا تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِأَدْنَى الْإِسْلَامِ, the lowest level of Islam. فَلَا فَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنْ يَنْفَلِثَ مِنْ عَيْدِكُمْ. So be careful that it does not slip out of your hands. Because if, for example, you are satisfied with the lowest level of something, it's quite possible that you lose it quickly. If you have several reserves for yourself, for example, in several bank accounts, even if you lose one of them, you don't bother. It doesn't matter. But if you have only one bank account and you lose it, it's just like this. If you have different higher grades of faith, even if you lose some, you have others. But if we are content with the lowest level, we are just making it to paradise, it just may be the case that we would not make it, isn't it? So here the Imam, of course, is encouraging his companions not to be content with the lowest level of Islam and try for higher levels. Now, according to this tradition, there are four broad categories of faith, which include all the 10 degrees and the 7 qualities. Yeah.
Here you said, it is a degree above taqwa.
Yeah.
And then he said, nothing is given to you as the degree of yaqeen. How can that be? I thought that is higher than taqwa.
Maybe the translation is not right. What I mean is that yaqeen is something which is given to people very sparingly. Not many have yaqeen. What was the sentence I've written?
He said that is yaqeen a degree above the
Yeah.
He said yes. Then he said nothing is given to people as little as yaqeen. How can it be little yaqeen when it's higher than yaqeen?
No, I mean that not many people. That's not a wrong correct sentence. Not many people have yaqeen. Not many people have yaqeen.
And the other point is why
he is Imam of people of yaqeen as well. However, we will see that, for example, iman is used synonymous to yaqeen. Taqwa is used synonymous to yaqeen. Sometimes, for example, mu'mineen are mentioned and muqineen are meant by that. I will discuss that later on. So we shouldn't be confused with this sort of terminology which is used.
So you ask, why is Imam saying from the sea you have clung to the lowest level? This is the lowest level of Islam.
Islam, yeah.
So he's been told by Imam that you clung to the lowest level.
So not he himself, he means his companions. That they are clung to the lowest level, they are content. with the least things, actually. It's a criticism. It's a criticism of the companions by the imam, saying that you have to do better than what you are doing now. Okay, according to this tradition, there are four broad categories of faith which include all the 10 degrees and the 7 qualities. These are Islam, Iman, Taqwa, and Yaqeen. And what we want to do, we want to discuss about all these four and explore the qualities or traits which should be manifested at every level, or would be manifested, not should be manifested, would be manifested. It's descriptive, it's not prescriptive, at every level. Now, what we do, initially we talk about yaqeen, the highest level, just to do away with it because that's not our concern, mostly, okay? Then we talk about Islam, which is the lowest level, and that's not our concern as well because we don't want to be just at the lowest level. And then we elaborate on the two middle qualities, and that is Iman and Taqwa. And we would see what sort of qualities we would have if we have these levels. Now, bear in mind that all these categories are addressed in the Quran as Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, isn't it? I mean, muqineen are addressed as Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Muslimin are addressed as Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. So this is actually addressing your question that why, for example, we say Amirul Mu'minin is Amirul Mu'minin, why not Amirul Muttaqin or Amirul Muqineen, for example. So all of them are called Mu'minin, because these are different levels of Iman, these different levels of faith. So all of them can be addressed as mu'minin. Now, the degree of yaqeen cannot be explained for those who have not experienced it. Now, whatever we say here about yaqeen is just like someone who doesn't have the faculty of taste and tries to learn it from others and explain it for the people. This is the same thing we do. Because many of these things, you understand what we say. We understand what we say. However, if we have not experienced it, we do not fathom the depth of these qualities which are shown by Ahlul Yaqeen. Now, yaqeen is the degree of al-muqarrabun, those who are brought close to God. And this, of course, we have discussed before several times, that muqarrabun are above the ordinary mu'minin who are ashabul yameen. The unfathomable nature of yaqeen is indicated in the following hadith, which is similar to the above. Now, look at this. Again, the previous hadith was from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, and this hadith is from Imam al-Riza alayhi salam. Again, al-Kulayni from Yunus ibn Abdul Rahman, who himself was regarded to be probably one of Ashabul Yaqeen. Yunus was a very, very famous and respected companion of Imam al-Riza alayhi salam. Imam al-Riza alayhi salam, Yunus said that I asked Imam al-Riza alayhi salam about Iman and Islam. What's the difference between Iman and Islam? He said, Abu Ja'far said, Imam al-Baqir. Now you see that all the A'imma have discussed this. Once we had the hadith from Imam al-Sadiq, here Imam al-Riza is quoting Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. What we find is only Islam. Innama huwa al-Islam, usually among people. And that's why sometimes we say, if Islam is such a good faith, why we see Muslims behaving like this? Well, because they are actually satisfied with the lowest level of faith. Now, what we find is only Islam. And above that by a degree is Iman. And taqwa is above iman by a degree, and yaqeen is above taqwa by a degree. And nothing as little as yaqeen has ever been dispensed to people. Is this again a wrong sentence? It means that, of course, when yaqeen is given to people, other degrees are given more than yaqeen. Yaqeen is very sparingly given to people. Now, Yunus doesn't know what is yaqeen. It's very difficult, of course. And Yunus says, I asked, what is yaqeen? What do you mean by yaqeen and that highest degree which people are not given much of it? He said, it is reliance on God. At-tawakkulu ala Allah. Wat-taslimu lillah. Submission to God. وَالرِّضَى بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ. Contentment with the decrees of God. وَالتَّفْوِيضُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Delegation to God, or leaving one's affairs to God. Well, don't all of us have this? We think we have it, isn't it? We think we have it. No. It's just something that we do not understand. What does it mean? What tawakkul means? What rida or contentment means? What tafweed or leaving their affairs to God mean? We just have an imagination, a conception about it. We haven't experienced it. If we experience it, then we become Ahlul Yaqeen, okay? And that's why Yunus is not content with the definition of Yaqeen. قُلْتُ فَمَا تَفْسِيرُ ذَلِكَ. I said, what's the explanation of that? What do you mean? Tawakkul and rida and taslim and tafweez. Now, what do you think Imam would answer? He said, هَكَذَا قَالَ أَبُو جَعْفَرَ. This is what Abu Ja'far said. Forget about the deeper explanation. You have to experience it. As long as you are asking it, means that you do not experience it. As long as you do not know what is tawakkul and taslim and reza and tafweez, it means that you have not come up to this level and you are asking me to explain something which is inexplicable. I cannot explain it to you. You should experience it. Therefore, I mean, in many traditions we have that you have to have reliance of God, you have to submit to God. We have to bear in mind these higher levels or deeper aspects are only to be experienced, to be understood. Otherwise, we are just talking about it. We do not actually get a good understanding of it. And from the following hadith, we understand that the iman of muqarrabun cannot be anything short of this. So, if someone wants to have that iman, which makes a person to be from among the muqarrabun, he cannot miss any one of these four. Tawakkul, rida, contentment, taslim, submission, tafweez, leaving the affairs to God. Of course, if question comes to your mind that if I leave my affairs to God, then what is my position? That very question means that you do not understand what it means. Or if you say, if I rely on God, then shouldn't I go and work? That very question means that you are not from Ahlul Yaqeen. You do not understand what it is. And that is why 99.999% of people have questions about these things, and that means they do not have this position. Okay. Now, the following hadith, again from Kulayni. قال أمير المؤمنين صلوات الله عليه الإيمان أربعة أركان. Now, here, iman again is the generic term for all these levels, and by iman he means yaqeen, of course. He means his own iman, actually. This is his own iman. Imam al-Sadiq said, أمير المؤمنين said, iman has four pillars: contentment with the decrees of God, reliance on God, delegation of all affairs to God, and submission to the command of God. This is iman of the muqineen, of ahlul yaqeen. It is a very pleasurable experience. It brings unity with God and unity with the creation, kindness towards everyone and everything, because this is where you feel unified with the will of God. And that, of course, is an experience which is quite pleasurable, which only Ahlul Yaqeen would enjoy. That is why sometimes the Quran attributes qualities to mu'mineen by whom only Ahlul Yaqeen are meant. So, for example, it says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Mu'minun are those whom, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble. This is, of course, for Ahlul Yaqeen, not for every mu'min. Or here, in Surah Mu'minun, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Successful indeed are the believers who are humble in their prayers. Now, this khushu in the prayer does not happen for all of us. Actually, it happens. Sometimes it does. We'll see that sometimes yaqeen, just like a breeze, touches our heart and goes. That is the highest thing that we experience and we feel, and we become very, very happy. But the hadith would say that it's just a fleeting experience. But for Ahlul Yaqeen, it is a constant, a steady experience that they always feel humble in their salat. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُؤْرِضُونَ. And those who shun vain conversation or any vain thing. Now, for most of us, without vain things, without entertainment, we cannot live. Of course, we have to have some rest, and that means we have to have entertainment, we have to have vain talk, lots of jokes and all these things. It's all good. For our level, it's all good, okay? For our level, it's all good. And we should not try actually to impose upon ourselves. As I said, this is not prescription, it's description. You would not like to watch a football match if you are Ahlul Yaqeen. But don't say, because Ahlul Yaqeen do not watch football matches, I don't want to watch football matches. No, that's not your degree. Your degree is this. You enjoy it, okay? But try to gain that. Do not impose things upon you. And sometimes our youth want to impose these things upon themselves. They want to have a shortcut to God, and they break. There were lots of communists in Iran which started with madrasa, school, madrasa, not religious school, as talaba, as tulab, as clergy. They did all the night prayers, 2 hours, 3 hours night prayers, reciting the Quran every day, several hours, and then they ended to be communists because they forced something upon themselves, a degree, a level which they did not have. That is very important. We shouldn't try to impose something which we have not reached that level yet. Okay. And then in this Surah Al-Mu'minun, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُؤْرِضُونَ, after several qualities, it says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ. These are the heirs who will inherit الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. Firdaus is the highest level of paradise. Of course, it's translated as paradise in the Quran, but Firdaus is the highest level of paradise. These are the ones who inherit. Inherit, the Exodus say that there are two possibilities for these. This term, warithun, they inherit. One is that anything you gain, which you initially shouldn't have had, like, for example, inheritance coming from someone else to you, a relative, you didn't have it, you didn't work for it. Anything you gain, which is not the work of your hand, it is an inheritance. That's why paradise, none of us actually deserve to have paradise. It's given to us. So, the other possibility is that all of us have a place in Firdaus, but not many of us would go there. So lots of land would be inherited by these little number of Mugarrabun, who go there, plenty of places. They don't know what to do with it, actually. Thousands and millions of people who miss to go there. In Firdaus, they all give their places to the handful or little number of Mugarrabun who would go there. And, of course, about others, generally in paradise, we also inherit the places of those who go to hell. Because they have every human being, as soon as they are created, they have a place in paradise. Because we are initially created for paradise. Then those who do not make it there, their place is left without owner, and it is given to others until, inshallah, they come out of hell themselves and we give it back to them. Or they will give it back to us. We don't know. Maybe we go to hell and we have to come up. Now, الَّذِينَ يَرْثُونَ فِرْدَوْسْهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Now, what is yaqeen? I think we have little time. I'll just start this, and then after a few minutes, we leave some time for question and answer, and then we prepare for salat. What is yaqeen? First of all, the Prophet said, peace be upon him, خَيْرُ مَا أُلْقِيَ فِي الْقَلْبِ الْيَقِينَ. The best thing which is thrown into the heart, which is endowed into the heart, is yaqeen. There's nothing above that. That means it's the most pleasurable experience of human being, whether in this world or in the next world, which majority of us are deprived of, not because God doesn't want to give it to us, because we ourselves do not work for it, towards it, to gain it. So yaqeen is the best thing which is thrown in the heart. And also, this is the hadith I actually alluded to. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, al-iman thabitun fil qalb. Iman is steady in the heart of the mu'minin, of course. We continuously have this faith. That's why every day we pray, we worship, and all these things. But yaqeen is a passing experience. Sometimes we have it. When yaqeen passes through the heart, it becomes like a sheet of iron. Like كأنه زبر الحديد. It's very strong. We want to work for Akhirah. We want to dedicate ourselves for God. Love of God fills our heart. And then when it goes, ويخرج منه فيصير كأنه خرقة بالية. And when it goes out, the heart becomes like a worn-out cloth. Compared, of course, this is still heart of a mu'min, heart of a believer. However, compared to that experience of yaqeen and certainty. Now, yaqeen we translate as certainty, that we are certain. But these are words, you see. These are words, sometimes we use the same words, but we do not really realize that we probably different imaginations or different concepts come to our minds about them. These are just words. The experience is very, very different. It's just like when, for example, I want to explain for you the taste of sweetness without any prior experience. But, of course, whatever I explain, it wouldn't be the sweetness. Sweetness is something that you have to taste. And Al-Shaykh Al-Kulayni and Abi Basir, again, from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, قال ليس شيء إلا وله حد. For everything there is a definition. This is very interesting. For everything there is a definition. قلت جعلت فداك فما حد التوكل. I asked, what is the definition of reliance, توكل? He said, it is يقين. Well, we said, we discussed it before that it is one of the pillars or branches on which yaqeen rests. However, you can say, yes, tawakkul is yaqeen. And when we say we are relying on God, actually we are just imitating something which we do not really understand what we mean by it. Now, he said yaqeen is, reliance is yaqeen. I said, what is yaqeen? He said, it means that you do not fear anything with God. Now, have you ever experienced this, that you have no worry, no fear whatsoever from anything? Not, I mean, fear not from a powerful person or a source of power or whatever. Fear of tomorrow, fear of yesterday, fear of death, fear about, concern about what will happen to, for example, those who are dependent on you. You have no fear. Wow. What life it would be. I mean, if you have no fear whatsoever, what a life. But of course, again, this is a word. This is just something we say. We have not experienced that. Okay. Now, this is a very, very complicated and difficult hadith, so we leave this, inshallah, for next week. Any questions? Yes. Alaykum as-salam. Now, as I said, Imam is talking about people who are not Ahlul Yaqeen. People who are below the level of Yaqeen. Of course, when someone reaches the level of Yaqeen, it will become quite steady. It will become a maqam, okay? However, people who do not have that status, sometimes, this breeze of Yaqeen would pass through their hearts, and then they feel it. But it's very transient, it's a fleeting experience, it goes very quickly. And probably the wisdom behind that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show us, the mu'minu who are below that level, what is above for them if they want to come. But unfortunately, most of us have these fleeting experiences and we are quite happy to have them, but we are not trying to make it a maqam, a steady and constant sort of thing. Yes. No. Wait, we talk about other levels, then you judge where you stand. You may stand on level of iman, you may stand on level of taqwa. Let us talk about them first. Certainly, majority of us are not at the level of yaqeen, because that would make a different life. That would change the person to become one of the muqarrabun. However, other levels, now what we do wrong, there are then prescriptions. What to do to go to these levels. Sometimes we have to try hard to imitate these qualities so that we gain the capacity to go to a higher level and then make this a constant quality and trait for ourselves. Yes, it is, yeah. Yes. You see, at certain level of literature or language, we do not differentiate between something that Allah gives and something that we acquire, because it's all given by Allah. However, we have this, we take it for granted that, especially in these things which are acquired by human beings, whatever Allah dispenses, it is based on what people deserve. It's just like, for example, when we say Allah guides and misguides. We shouldn't think that He does it without any wisdom. It means that some people deserve to go astray and Allah would allow it to happen, and we say He misguides. So when we say Allah is dispensing it, it's just somehow honoring the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes.
Yes.
Is there any potential for some of these qualities to unfold?
Oh, of course. Of course. All these qualities are just dormant and in potential sort of a state in this world. The place for their development and unfolding and actually giving foliage and growing is the hereafter, certainly. It's just like a seed here. Then it grows like a tree in the hereafter.
Can I ask something?
Yeah.
The level of faith, would I be right in saying the level of faith is directly proportional to the level of qurb?
Level of qurb with Allah. Yes. It's a contradiction. You say awliya of Allah, those who are close to him, and you are defining levels of faith by closeness, and then you say, is it possible for them having lower level? No, of course not possible.
I was under the impression that awliya of Allah could be even a non-Muslim, or somebody who doesn't believe in Islam. He could be somebody who's...
Or doesn't believe in God?
I'm not.
Okay.
But he's close to Allah than what we would perceive.
Yeah.
Would we say that his level of faith is not
No, it's possible. You see, say for example, Christians before Islam or Jews before Christianity. There were lots of awliya Allah among them. Now, if they continue on that state not knowing the rightfulness of Islam, then of course some of them may be better than us. Okay? May have higher levels of faith. But if they Islam reaches them in a way which is convincing, in a way which is explained properly, and they reject it, then they cannot be at high levels of faith. Yeah.
I was having a conversation with one of my students, mm-hmm. and he's a Shia. But he says somebody he was talking about was so compassionate and he had so many. He says he's a real Shia.
He may be a good human being, but a Shia has a definition, of course. A real Shia, you cannot say that. Yeah, I mean, a Shia is someone who believes in the successorship of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and unless if, for example, we somehow take these meanings in a very, very broad sense. Otherwise, no, everything has its own definition. Yes. That yaqeen, most of the exegesis, wa'abud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen, means death. Because there is no yaqeen above death. Death brings that certainty to human beings, of course. It may be, I may not agree with all those exegesis who say that, it means that it's only through worship that yaqeen comes. So, worship your Lord. Now, hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen here doesn't mean until yaqeen comes to you and then you stop. It means so that yaqeen comes to you. And then when yaqeen comes, of course, you even worship more. Yeah. Okay, I think it's... Thank you very much.